Let's get back to the prodigal son. Lord willing, we'll get through it this today. If not, it's no big deal. And I've taught on this will be the fourth time, but it's been a month since I talked on it. Brian talked once. I enjoyed that. I mean, if y'all enjoyed him speaking. Then I did two messages spontaneously in there, and I think one of them was Michael Watkins that came. Turn over to Luke 15:11, where the prodigal son story is. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's pretty common, but we're going to talk about the older brother today, Luke 15:11. If you have paper Bibles, turn to that. If you got electric Bibles, turn to that. If you got an iPhone, you're really God. Because this is an apostolic church. Because I have an iPad. I thought that was pretty good. Luke 15, that was pretty bad, wasn't it? When everybody groans. I think Daly was the only one that laughed over there. That was grace. That is so good. Luke 15:11. Jesus continued. This is going to be a fun time tonight because we're going to talk about the older brother. We've been talking about the younger brother a lot. There was a man who had two sons. Now, I'm going to skip all of that. Go down to verse 20 because we know what the younger son did. He went out there, took the money, spent it, lived a wild lifestyle. And then in verse 20, so he got up and went to his father. He got his senses back, got common sense back. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. This passage is about the father first, the son second. We're going to learn a lot from the sons, but it's about the father first. And so he's the central figure. We're going to learn three things. We've learned one so far. We're going to learn the last two today, Lord willing. If not, no big deal. The first one was he forgives easily. Your father forgives easily. And we talked a lot about if you've had done something in your past that there's shame, there's regret, just run back to the father and give him your mess. Give him the pig slop, so to speak, the metaphorically that's over you. Give it to him. He will embrace you, put a new writ. We talked about this. He'll put a new ring on you, a new robe on you, and new sandals on you. And those all mean things. Identity, purpose, resources. You can go back and go to relationshipchurch.com, go click on resources, and there's four ways you can listen to the message. You can go to our YouTube channel. You can go to Rumble if you're doing that. You can get a podcast every week that automatically downloads, or you can get it off the website. But he is a father who forgives quickly. We love that. Verse 25. So there was one son left back home, and we're going to talk about the older son. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard what? Man, when I grew up, nothing against my mom, we all did it. We didn't dance. When we went to a Christian high school, there was no dancing. Was there even any music? Yeah, that's so true. Verse 26. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Verse 27. Your brother has come home. They're excited. The servants are happy. They know the father is happy. And your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. So verse 27 is my biblical basis to not be a vegetarian. God loves barbecue. I just had to throw that in. If that offends you, you have to walk in love with me anyway. Verse 28. The older brother became, you know I'm kidding you, although I do like barbecue. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. Why did he get angry? When his brother comes back and he's made right with the father. We're going to see this. This is a characteristic of older brothers. So his father went out and pleaded with him. Try to talk him into sense. But he answered his father, look. All these years I've been slaving for you. He's telling on himself. We're going to get into this. And never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat. Now, I'm not into barbecue goat. How many of y'all like barbecue goat? It's good. Do I need to try it? All right. I think that's God. That's God. He's into barbecue goats, huh? Now, I like lamb. Yeah, I would have done a lamb if I was the father here. so I could celebrate with my friends. I might have green beans. You got to have something green. But that's probably it. But verse 30. But he answered his father. Look, all these. Verse 30. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes come home, you killed the fattened calf for him. Okay, now here we go on verse 31. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. What he's doing in verse 31 and 32 is giving truths to the older brother that he did not know, that the father expected him to know. Everything I have is yours. You're always with me. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. Okay, one of the primary character callings on this church is to minister. Okay, the father pleaded with the older brother. That is one of the primary calls on this church, to minister to older brothers. So as we talk about some of these characteristics, just be ready to deal with it in yourself first and then help other people across the finish line. Why? Because I am, if you know my history, most of you do, we're a small church, a family. I was the older brother. And I still have to fight being the older brother. I didn't waste my parents' money. They wouldn't have given it to me anyway. I didn't do the prostitutes. I didn't drink. I've never been drunk in my life once. The only person I've had sex with is my wife. And so I was the older brother. But we're going to see the older brother in many ways was more messed up than the younger brother. It took him longer to recognize the father. And at the end of verse 32, which we read, that's the end of the parable. At that point, he still did not recognize the father. They had not been reconciled. Matter of fact, he was mad at the father and now the brother. When the brother was going off doing whatever he was doing, he was judgmental. I'm better. I've got it together. I'm the good one. Look at what this family's got over here. He's the black sheep. He's the gossip. When he came back and all of a sudden he's got a ring, robe, and sandals, he's like, my gosh, what's going on? He was mad at the brother and the father. And I hope he got reconciled. But it doesn't say it's here. It is some ways. Now, you're going to have to follow me. We talked about the consequences of sin. The younger brother had a lot of consequences of sin. He lost his money, lost a lot of stuff. I mean, he's eating pig slop. That's not good. God will not keep you from the consequences of sin. You can go and look at a past tape on that tape. Well, it shows how old I am. Go back and look at a past stream on it. But eventually came back. The older brother was, now listen, this is where Craig is, and I have to really guard against it. I can get so proud in what I have not done, and so proud in what I think I'm doing, that I miss the relationship with the father. See, the second point, first point, he's quick to forgive. The second point is God is so relational. He's huge. The son thought he was a master. He wanted that he was the employee and not realizing he wanted a father-son relationship. He did not want employees. He wanted lovers, sons. And I don't know if he ever got it. Now, in my own life, this was a hard thing to get over. When I got Spirit-filled at 24, some of it started breaking. In my early 30s, we started this church at 34, so sometime around then, the Lord started giving me messages similar to this, but that the Father is love. And one day we're going to get to it because I want us to introduce this to the Trinity. And so I started preaching it. But even when I was preaching it, I knew I had it in my head, but I had not experienced it in my heart. And I was trying to get there. Just because you know something doesn't mean you are something. It has to move about 18 inches or 12 inches or whatever it is from your head to your heart. And I was preaching on it for years. And then we had a men's retreat. Some of you old timers might have been there. We went to go hear Jack Frost at somewhere, Ridgecrest or someplace up in North Carolina. And he is like the grandfather of the love of the Father. And that's why one of the books that we used to have for the Father's Journey, for the growth journey, was Embracing the Father's Heart by Jack Frost. If you want more revelation on this, go get that book. I think that's the name of it, isn't it? Embracing the Father's Heart by Jack Frost. Kindle, paperback. It is just an excellent book. And so he taught on that. And no, it wasn't a men's retreat. It was a minister's retreat. And so it doesn't really matter. And so I went there, and then he was teaching. And then all of a sudden, something broke in me. And I can't even describe it. Sometimes we have to experience things that education cannot get you there. The older brother wants everything explained to the point that their mind understands, because their mind is God and their mind is idol, is their idol. And your mind will always align correctly. But sometimes there's just an experience that has to overtake you, and then your mind has to catch up. The experience is it comes from the Spirit first. And in that meeting, all of a sudden, I can't even give it. It just connected. And for the first time, I wasn't just talking about the Father's love. I felt the Father's love. And I broke down and just started sobbing uncontrollably for about 30 minutes. Yeah, it was a minister's retreat, because some of you met my pastor that I was under as associate pastor in Augusta. Caesar Brooks was there. And he came up to him about halfway, and he goes, "Are you all right, Craig?" I couldn't even answer him. And I said, "I'm fine. I'm a father." And I just didn't do that. Still don't really do that. And just something broke, and I felt the Father's love. And so you got this older brother that he didn't even get it educationally. He couldn't quite put the stuff together. That's why we're preaching on it. But once you even get that, God the Father wants us to feel His love, because He's emotions too. They're intellectual too. But He's both. And so as we walk forward in life, and I'm telling you, one of our biggest... I'm in the business world. I was going to say our revenue streams are one of our biggest people streams of the harvest. Whenever we bring the harvest, it's going to be people that are the older brother coming from more traditional churches that have been in church all of their life. They may know everything, but they've not felt it. Why? Because this is the way I was. The Lord takes you where you have battled. Your greatest anointing is where you've battled. And so they're going to come in, and they're going to know everything. They're going to have their theology aligned right, and they're going to be working for the kingdom like nobody's business. But they're not going to know the Father. They're going to be saved. They're going to have salvation. But that doesn't mean you know the Father. And so our job, mostly modeled, you do teach, but it's mostly modeled, is to show them how relational He is. And yes, there is a place for working for Him, but we can have the fatted calf all along. And so what was the true inheritance here? The story starts off with inheritance of money. But in the end, what was the true inheritance here? Yeah. It was a relationship with the Father. The older brother at the end still has his money, but he didn't have the true inheritance. The younger son had no more money. I guess he just lived off the goodness of his father. I don't know how that worked. Huh? Was he a what? Oh, beggar. Not really. I mean, the goodness of the Father takes care of him. Yeah, I mean, he was wanting to be a servant or a beggar, but he wouldn't do it. So anyway, we just don't get hung up on that. But he came back with no money, but he had the true inheritance. He was relational with his Father. This story says so much about the Father. Let's talk about the third point. The first point, He's quick to forgive. The second, He's so relational. The third is this. He likes to party. Now, one of the four territorial strongholds over this area, and probably the strongest, is religious spirit. He showed that to me the first year we were here, 28 years ago. And it's just been confirmed over and over again. What's a religious spirit? I get the favor of God, by what I do and what I don't do. Now, this is a fine line tension you got to walk through. We have the favor of God now. Now, can we break relationship? Yes, if we go to prostitutes, pig slop, whatever else he was doing. Those are the ones he mentioned, drinking. Okay? You can break relationship. But you have the favor of God now, and it's not based off what you do. Your relationship can be affected, but it's based off of Jesus Christ and what He did 2,000 years ago in the goodness of the Father. Now, these are some deep theological subjects we could sit here and talk about. This is my major point that I want to get across. Religious people, older brother people, Craig Cooper, still to this day, it's his weakness, try, when I do right and do good and don't sin for 3 days, subconsciously I think God loves me more. Or I at least deserve more. And we're going to jump into that a little bit at the end, because there's some, us as older, not all of us, it's probably 50-50 in here. But as we minister to older brothers, some serious truths we need to understand, or we're going to get jealous. The older brother was jealous because he got the party and he didn't earn it. And when we see that, somebody comes in, their life's messed up, and they see them being, you know, baptized in the Holy Spirit. They're hearing words. God's blessing them. If we're not, this is one way you can tell if you're an older brother. You go, wait a minute. I've been following God for 20 years. They're getting a fatted calf more than I'm getting a fatted calf. That tells you you're an older brother, and it tells you that you think God's goodness is based off what you do. God's goodness is based off of Him. When He's good, it's saying to the demonic realm, it's saying to this whole village here, I'm good. And it's irregardless of them. What all they have to do is repent and focus back on Jesus. And then my goodness starts flowing again. Yes, but you know, there are consequences. He didn't have his money anymore, but he had the favor of God and the goodness. And so we have to watch that. There are two things that you can tell if you're fighting a religious spirit in somebody. One of them I've said quite a bit. Two P's. Passion and a party. We are so scared. So we've talked about passion. You know, as I've said before, I'll repeat it in case somebody hasn't heard it. For years I thought fighting religious spirits, you change the form. Skinny jeans, smoke machines, praise and worship music. No. You can be just as religious with that. And you're earning favor with God. Look at what I'm doing, God. I'm moving it forward with all these new things. Surely He's going to bless my church because of it. He's not going to bless you any more because of it or any less because of it. But passion, which is intimacy with the Father, tears religious spirits up. You can just answer simple questions like this. You can go to church, maybe 200 or 300 people there. They're singing. You get them off to the side. It says, what have you heard from Jesus this past week? Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Well, I don't know, but I'm really enjoying church. When have you told Jesus you love Him recently? Well, He knows my heart. Anyway, the other, and this is what I want to focus on, is the party. Where was Jesus' first miracle at? A wedding. Now, you've already heard me say I've never been drunk, so you can't take this to extremes. What did He do? Turn the bread into roast beef? I would have liked that, because I'm not a vegetarian. If you're a vegetarian, you might have turned the bread into roasted asparagus or something. Huh? Tofu. There you go. There you go. So you know what happened there. I mean, it's just crazy. And so, maybe so. So you've got this tension between the younger brother who had no righteousness that broke it off with the father. No righteousness. I mean, he's not doing anything right. Then you got the tension of the older brother, which I very much identify with, which was self-righteous. One had no righteous, the other's trying to get all the righteous by himself. And he had no relationship either. How you get righteousness is go to the Holy Spirit regularly and say, Holy Spirit, what you want to do today? How do you want to walk with me? Jesus, I love you. You're amazing. Thank you that you're making me look like you, walk like you, talk like you, and you're showing me the Father. All right, turn over. I don't know how much we're going to read of this. Matthew 20, verse 1. And we're going to talk about jealousy. So, as you're turning there, when older brothers come in like Craig, and we're going to have a lot of them. We're going to have younger brothers too, but I know that's a primary calling on our life. The first job is to say, you know, you're important. You have value. We love you. You got a calling. If they're charismatic, they got an anointing. If they're spirit-filled, whatever language you want to use. But you've got to stop trying so hard. You're just not that good. You need to humble yourself and let Him promote you. I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care how much of the Bible you've memorized. I don't care how much you know about ministry. That's all good. God can use it. We want that. But you know, He may point you in a direction and has nothing to do with your strength. Like the Apostle Paul. He would have been the best one in my mind to go talk to the Jews. He was a Jew of Jews. He was of the Sanhedrin. He was mentored by Gamaliel, which means nothing to me, but evidently he was the mentor of mentors. You know who he sends them to? It's the Gentiles that could care less about Gamaliel, could care less about the feasts, could care less how much of the Torah you know. They were crude. They were worshiping different gods. That'll humble you. But if you stay the older brother, you can't ever get into your calling because you think that's what makes you who you are. And it does, but he might want to make you into something totally different. I grew up Southern Baptist, then Independent Baptist, then non-denominational, and then crazy spirit-filled charismatic church. Been that way. We're actually the tamest we've ever been. I mean, we're pretty tame now. This is tame. There are times it wasn't tame. And so you got that whole denominational background, which is not bad. It just is what it is. You know what my major ministry is outside of here? Like the church in New York, church overseas. It's wild Pentecostal churches where they push you down. You have to move the chairs because everybody's falling out. That's not on the tape, so we're good. I mean, just crazy. I mean, wild. Just people screaming in the corners. I know nothing about that world. I feel like the Apostle Paul. I just sit over there quietly. When I'm asked to teach, I come up and teach. When I'm asked to pray, I pray. You'll see this when we go to Ojeda. It's wild, man. But there's a piece in me that they need, and I feel totally helpless in that environment, but it's good. Because it forces me to go, okay, this isn't my strength. Lord, what is going on? What is not going on? And what do you want me to do? You'll never get there as an older brother if you're stuck on your performance and what you've done. It's a humility thing. Matthew 20. You all right? So we're here to bring the older brother and the younger brother. I mean, we've done it. But one of our primary callings, because we're talking about this, is to bring the older brother into passionate pursuit of the Father, where they have an encounter of the Father's love, and it's not just an education, and they go, I'm free. That's cool, isn't it? And we're going to do it. We've done it. How many of you are the older brother that's made some journeys in here? I know it's more than just me. My goodness, I can start calling you out if I have to. Well, we got two back here, three. Huh? Older sister, yeah. All right, Matthew 21, 20 verse 1. For the kingdom, I'm going to read this fast because I'm going to try to get down through the 16th verse. I'm going to read it out of the NIV. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. This is one of those parables that if you just read it, I go, that's a good story. But you know, Jesus' stories were always on different levels. The lost coin. Oh, that's a good story. We know that there's more to it. The prodigal son. It's a story. We know there's more to it. He does stories to see who is hungry that will seek him. What is behind this story? It separates those that are just going through the motions versus who are hungry. For in the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. Verse 2. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. Early in the morning, he hired some people. Verse 3. About 9. So the other guys were before 9. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. Verse 4, he told them, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. He didn't promise them a denarius, but I'll pay you whatever is right. Verse 5, so they went. He went out again about noon, and about 3, and did the same thing. And then about 5, verse 6, in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? Verse 7, because no one has hired us, they asked. He said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. Verse 8, when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired, the ones that, was it 5? I'm sort of losing count here. The workers who were hired about, yeah, there you go, verse 9, hired 5 in the afternoon, each received a denarius, whatever denarius was. So when those came who were hired first, so he did 5, 3, 12, 9, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. Verse 13, but he answered one of them, I am not being unfair to you. Friend, didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Verse 14. Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm generous? What story does this sound like that we were just talking about? So the last will be first and the first will be last. Let me tell you, there is good stuff coming. God will not owe man anything. He will be generous. He will be giving. There's, I believe, 7 crowns in heaven. Maybe more. But 7 are listed. Martyrdom, endurance, different things. I've been following the Lord now this year 50 years. I'm just picking on somebody. I'll pick on John because you're in the front. Say he's been walking with God for a year. He hasn't. But say he's been walking for God for a year. The rapture comes, second coming, whatever. We go to heaven. What if he gets the crown of endurance the same as me? 50 years, a lot more than 1 year. I'm telling you, we're going to see a harvest come in here of young people, older brothers, younger brothers, some of them new Christians. God is going to use them. I'm telling you, I'm prophesying. It's not even prophesying, it's just fact. There's going to be some people coming here. I'm 63. Say 23. They've been walking with God for a year. You just expect it. I'm looking for it. They're going to be better teachers than me. They're going to see more miracles than me. They're going to see whatever their calling is more than me. And it's going to be a challenge to go, they don't deserve that. Why is God blessing them that way instead of, well, I'm not getting that. They get a six-figure job at 23. It's all God's goodness. And we're going to have to guard against that because God is the landowner. And He's going to do this. And what we need to do is be excited that the vineyard is being picked and the landowner can do whatever he wants. And I'm excited to even be going to heaven. I didn't deserve anything I got. I deserved hell. I deserved to never be hired. And I am just glad I'm hired. And I'm glad to see the goodness of God that says statements to the demonic world and to the secular world. He blesses how He ever wants to bless because He's a good God. He forgives easily. He's relational. And we can't get over into the envious jealousy because when we start comparing, we've become the older brother. The older brother compared. I've been doing all this. He hadn't done it. Comparison is a game that shows you're after performance because you're comparing performance. You're after value. You're after whatever. And so we have to guard against that even now. How many of you have ever experienced something like that now? My gosh, I can't believe, you know, they got this job or they got that. Go, Father, I thank You for my fatted calf. I'm going to eat my fatted calf now. I'm not going to wait. I'm just, you know, maybe he has four fatted calf, but I'm over here having a good time. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You I have a good life, good wife, or good husband, good job. Just thank Him for it because we didn't deserve any of that. He hands it out however He wants it out because He's not a socialist. I had to get one political statement in there. Well, I already did the vegetarian thing, Ed. I'm running two for two, man. I'll try not to do any more. I don't care if you're a vegetarian. Actually, in the Garden of Eden, people were vegetarians. I guess you realize that, don't you? Yeah. So they're actually probably a little bit more biblical. But I'll eat my barbecue beef and ask forgiveness. I won't live to be 900. You know, I'm just kidding you. That's good stuff. And just be excited and happy where He has you. Be excited that the vineyard's coming in. Be excited that the kingdom's expanding. Be excited that He's blessing however He wants to bless and that He is blessing you. Comparison is a game that will kill you. That is why one reason social media can be, it does not have to be, bad on your soul. You're perfectly happy until you go see that Jason went rafting this week. Oh, he's already gone, so I can't pick on him.
Until you realize he's got sunburned.
Until he got sunburned. You know the day when there used to be malls in Augusta, Georgia, and I was there, they had a pretty good mall. Had two, actually. Here, not so much. It's sort of dying everywhere. And we were in Syracuse. They had the Great Northern Mall. Oh, right across from our hotel. Oh, let's just go there. We got a couple hours to kill. The thing was empty. Shut down. Should have been the sorry Northern Mall. It should have changed. What's your point, Craig? My point is this. We used to, in Augusta, just go walking through the malls. We're a young couple. It's just fun to do and dream about what we might buy one day. I'm sure none of you have ever done that. And you know, but when I went to the mall, I was perfectly satisfied, content, and happy. When I left the mall, I was frustrated, angry, and going, I need that. I didn't need it 2 hours ago, but now I need that. Have y'all ever done that? Now it's looking through Amazon.com or Walmart.com. I'm stepping on too many toes, aren't we? We're going to start handing out steel-toed shoes when you come in. Well, what's happening is I'm comparing. Now, it's okay to go in the mall and you go, that is cool, I like that. There was somebody that's creative that did that. I'm going to save my money and get that. Maybe the Lord will allow it to happen sometime without being content. I mean, I did say that right. With being content as you get there. Amen? There's nothing wrong with that. You can dream. but as long as you do it in the right way. And I'm way off the topic. Let's stand. Sort of fit in with a comparison. But the older brother compared, and he was self-righteous. Fight that in yourself. Comparison and self-righteous. Be happy that the guy that came in at the end of the day, the younger brother, came in and he got a denarius. He got a fatted calf. And he actually had a relationship with the Father. The biggest thing, I won't tell you which church, but I was at a, I like to visit churches, as you heard me earlier. No, you didn't hear me earlier. Maybe that was in prayer. Yeah, in prayer time you heard me earlier. I like to visit churches because I like to see what's happening in the city. It's not, most of the services don't, I don't really get into. It's not my style. But this one had Southern Gospel music. I'm really not into that style. You got anything smart to say on that? I repent. There's good people, great people. And as I was sitting there, and I don't know the answer to that, I go, do these people know the Trinity? Maybe. They might all know. I don't know. I didn't know them. But that's a question I ask all the time because that's a calling on us. It doesn't matter the form, whether it's Southern Gospel. You know, that's the, one of the biggest forms of music in this region, so don't make fun of it. It's good. It's just I grew up as a teenager in the 70s, so we did rock and roll, and so that's sort of what we do here. And but my question is, I see a lot of movement in the church, and this is the question. Do they know the Father? Does the younger brother out here know the Father? Does the older brother out here know the Father? That's how I ask, and I don't know it. I'd have to get to know their lives, and that's not my calling most of the time. But I encourage you in your own life and around other people as we are an influence, do you know what the Father's voice is like? He's quick to forgive. He's full of goodness. He's very relational, and he loves to party in the right way. I mean, you see it all through the Scriptures. I mean, that was one of the things that he got in trouble for. He was just eating wheat, picking wheat on a Sunday. That was a no-no. One of the biggest ways you can tell if you become religious is if you stopped having fun. Now, that's one thing I like about this church. I mean, sometimes even the worship team even scares me. If you're here at the beginning, they're going off, almost irreverent, not, but wild. And all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, are we ever going to practice here? And then all of a sudden, they jump into deep relational stuff with God. And I'm like, how did that happen? It's because God was joking with them. You're a wit. You got, like Susan said, you got a wit. That came from God. He tells you jokes, and you pass them on. Now, he likes my dry jokes, like apostolic. That's from God, probably. Father, I'm just talking. I'm enjoying time with you. Father, I thank you for these people. And I pray for myself. I pray for everyone here that we will get to know the Father better this week than last week. And we'll know his voice. We'll have fun with you. We'll have a great relationship with you. And where we mess up, you're quick to forgive. And help us to minister it to ourselves and then to this community, which needs it so badly. And we know you're changing it. I'm seeing signs of it. And it's not about a different form. It's about, do you know the Father? It's not a form, it's the Father. Amen. Be blessed.